This episode of Watch What Crap Happens is brought to you by our Patreon premium sponsors, Christy Dougherty, Mia Hansen Aloha, Cindy Gerson, Kelly Barlow, and Jess Sayin. Thank you.
Watch what crap happens, watch what crap happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crap happens?
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com and the Banter Blender, and joining me on this ever so magnificent Prime Amazon Prime Day is Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and the Rose Pricks Bachelor Podcast. What's going on?
Prime Day, don't go. Prime Day.
I'm obsessed with Amazon Prime Day. I've spent so much money, and now I just figured out this new part, and it says odd gifts, like things that are odd. And I'm like, I don't need gifts or odd things, but now there's this keyboard. And I guess, oh my God, there's this keyboard, and it looks like an old typewriter keyboard.
Ooh.
And I don't want that. It's going to be so uncomfortable to type on. Hold on. Where's Ben? I'm going to text you this
link. I'm here. Right before the show started, Ronnie and I were already going down a K-hole, and I have now purchased a French press. It was a very urgent situation where there were two French presses. One had 1,600 five-star reviews. One had 422. Mostly five-star reviews, but it looked better. And then I was like, well, I kind of want the one that looks better because it looks like a better French press. But then the other one got waitlisted, and that made me now really want the one that got waitlisted just because I was told I couldn't have it.
Yeah, that's how they make you do it. And then you're like fighting over shit that's four-star. Like, it's not even really good stars, you know?
No.
And it's like probably some crap from China. And then, you know, it makes you start wanting it. Like, I got a Kindle when I was in Austin because I can't sleep. And my sister said, just get a Kindle and that'll help your eyes because I read, you know, iPad all night. So I was like, okay. So I got one. She said, why? I didn't mean to get it here. You should have waited for Amazon Prime. Go return it. So I went to return it. And then I was sitting here waiting. And then I started looking at Kindles because I'm waiting for a Kindle. So I'm like, what kinds are there? And why is this one $300 and that one's $40? Like, what's the difference? And they're all the same. They're just different, you know, weights. They're basically all the same.
Yeah.
So, of course, I'm like, oh, it's Amazon Prime Day. Maybe I'll find one 75% off, and then I can get the really bomb one. And then, of course, they don't have that. So they don't have a deep discount. But then I don't want to just get the $40 one after I've been waiting all this time.
Right.
So now I'm mad at the Kindle that I bought, and it didn't do anything. It's just a Kindle. This day makes you crazy, okay?
It does. Like, you just sent me a link, and there's a fish tank here, and I thought, for a passing second, I thought, that's a cool fish tank. Maybe I should get a fish. Like, that's where my mind went very quickly with this day.
Yeah, like, we literally don't need fish.
They have vases here that are shaped like salmon.
Oh, my God. Also, did you see that keyboard I sent you? It's this, like, typewriter keyboard. It's $1,000.
It
like,
is.
I'm get just out of like... here with your odd gift, your interesting finds,
I
Amazon.
I see a tea kettle, and I see a fan. I'm seeing weird stuff. There is, by the way, do you have an Instapot? I forget if you have one or not.
No, I don't know what that is.
Well, why don't you get one? I mean, that's, like, what Prime Day is for, is to get the pressure cooker. I just used mine earlier this morning to cook some frozen chicken. And it was undersalted.
No, I don't have room for anything in my house. Like, it has to be super important. I won't even buy a Keurig, okay?
Ronnie, I feel, and I would like our Crappens audience to weigh in on this, but the Instapot has now become a kitchen necessity for many people because it's a slow cooker and a pressure cooker and a yogurt maker and a rice cooker.
Yours is amazing.
No, it's you can get it on Prime Day, $90 down, marked
and
down.
You made I've already spent so many hundreds of dollars.
I want you to buy it. I think you need to buy it.
I'm going to be totally broke. We're going to New York next week, and I'm buying shit I don't need. I just bought a remote control caddy. Okay, like it's getting bad over here.
What about a? What would you like a coffee mug that says "The Boss"?
Oh my God, no, I don't.
How about an iPhone cover that says "Stay Wild"?
Oh Jesus, iPhones.
Yeah, Amazon Prime Day is it's lacking a little bit, I would have to say. But I did get my French press thing. But it wasn't even an Amazon Prime deal. See, that's the thing. I feel like I'm not even participating because I got a regular deal.
I know. And then they had this TV. They're like, oh, it's the Amazon Fire TV, and it's only $400. Normally it's $800, and it's 4K. And I was like, oh, my gosh, that sounds fun. I love TVs. So I went and looked at it, and it's like, deal is over. How can the deal be over? I set my alarm for 5:55 p.m. yesterday so I could be there right at the start of Prime. How is it over?
Because you are competing with all of mankind.
Well, I'm not going to compete, okay?
No, you shouldn't.
Not for a TV. I'm paying you, TV. Now, yes. Entertain me.
Entertain. Speaking of TV. Speaking of TV, we have TV to discuss. And believe as always, we must, of course, hawk our LA show. You guys will be sick of hearing about it, but the sooner you buy tickets, the less you'll have to hear about it. So the thing is this, we've actually already sold out about a third of the theater, and we're still 2 months out. So they're actually going very quickly. So be sure to get your tickets now before they're gone, because we're running out. Go to Ticketmaster.com, do a search for Watcher Crappens, or just go to WatcherCrappens.com, and there's a link right there directly to the ticket link. So go do that. September 2nd, downtown Los Angeles, Terra Grande Ballroom. It's going to be soups fun. And, I mean, what else do we have to say?
It's going to be okay. Lamazing. That's what pregnant people call it. Lamazing. Okay.
Yeah. I'm planning to wear a full gown that looks like a bunch of poinsettias.
And I'm planning on wearing a Patricia doggy caftan.
Should we just like perform and like I'll wear a Patricia cat aftan and you wear a caftan with Bueller on it and we'll just address the crowd like that.
Yeah, I'll wear a Bueller caftan and you wear a caftan with my face on it since I'm your little pet.
But I like cats.
I don't care. Gizmo. You're getting a Ronnie, okay?
I want a Gizmo.
Between cats or dogs. I'll be a Ronnie cat for you. I'll be your Garfield.
Will you actually be a cat like a cat's cat?
No, I'm like going to be a human's cat. I hate cats. They're mean to people. They'll eat off your face when you die. Okay, we need
I'm talking
to
about the cats
right
from
now.
The musical Cats, not cats. I'm talking about cats.
No.
Isn't...
Yeah, I'll be the bitch on the tire.
Yeah.
I'll be the old Grisabella bitch who only comes down on a big fat tire to sing one song and then dies.
Well, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to install a mechanical tire that will lift Ronnie up into the rafters of the theater. So everyone get your tickets now.
Memory all alone in the... Okay, just lift it up. I don't even want to finish this song.
Ronnie Buckley. So, if you are charmed by our banter here today, that's because we're about to talk some Southern Charm. Southern Charm Reunion, Part 1.
Yeah, I think because we had a day off yesterday and we talked so much yesterday, I'm still loopy. From talking yesterday.
I know.
And now I'm watching the cartoonish guy on Amazon Prime just dance around. Like, that's all I'm doing right now. I'm looking at my notes. Okay, so let's be serious and be really serious about Southern Charm.
Let's be soups serious. The reunion opened up with the classic reunion. I'm on some other notes. I'm like about to like talk about like Vicky Gumbelson spilling salsa. Like, it opens with Vicky Gumbelson spilling salsa on Craig. No. So it opens with the usual pre-reunion stuff, and guess what? They've worked in another mention for Priv, the makeup company that seems to pop up on all these Bravo shows.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the little sister from Hunger Games, Prim or whatever. Okay, can I ask some basic questions before Please. We get into this? Why are the lights so bright in this reunion? Like, it's like lit like they're about to perform Oklahoma. It's crazy. It's so bright. Andy is stoned out of his gourd. His eyes are just puffy and stoned, which, hey, I got no problem with. But you're about to grill a woman about her sobriety for an hour. So, I don't know. Make an effort.
I think I'd have to be stoned to deal with this cast also.
Why do the guys look so hideous? Shep looks dried out. Shep just looks dirty and drunk.
I actually thought Shep looked great.
He won't even comb his hair. His hair is combed with loogies. It's like his mom spit a loogie into her hand and did his hair.
But it works for him. I think Shep looks really good.
Shep looks exhausted and drunk. Craig looks like his face is all dried out and he's wearing like tons of base. Austin is just a mess. He's spray tanned. His mouth is just gaping open and twitching already, and he just keeps licking the side of his mouth. Okay, so those are my... Oh, and Catherine's hair color. I think everybody was planning on different lighting is what I'm trying to say.
Everyone was expecting, you know, maybe like a Vanderpump Rules lighting scheme, but instead they got like the Home Depot aisle 9 lighting.
Yeah, that's actually true. You know, when you pick out like something at Home Depot and you get it home and it's not the same color because Home Depot fucked with the lighting. Like Catherine's like, I did not get my hair dyed in Home Depot. Okay, I got it done in a Lowe's. Now, can you please respect my choices?
Can't you tell there's like a spirit of Gene Hackman about my coif? He does the voiceovers. Or at least he used to. Whatever happened to Gene Hackman? I hear he was a terrible man.
I don't know. But, you know, Gene Hackman hit 60 at 30 and just stayed there forever, which I always loved about him.
He really did.
That guy really knew how to work his jowls. So at the beginning, Andy's like, hey, it's Oklahoma. How are you doing, Shep? You all right? And Shep's like, gosh, no, I'm not all right. I feel emasculated.
Is this before or after? Is this still in the pre stuff or when Andy's out on stage? Because I did enjoy in the backstage stuff when T-Rav says very menacingly, I have a lot to say, but I'm going to save it for the stage.
Okay, Pavarotti.
Traviata, am I right?
He's like, la, 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 la. Am I right, guys?
Tosca, am I right, guys? I'll save it for the stage. Getting on there with Beverly Sills.
I'll just be sitting here with my honey Ricola until it's time for me to go out on the stage.
We're going to do some Porgy and Bess after this, so...
Cameron's like, don't call me Porky. So hi Craig. Okay, so then the hellos. Hi Craig, guess what? You're a lawyer and passed the bar. And Shep's like, he goes, how's everyone else reacting? And Shep's like, gosh, I wish we had a buffet with some crow on it. We should eat some crow right now, Andy. I love how southern they are.
Yeah.
And he's like, hi Catherine. I love that you got the same color that Fantasia got when she made a guest appearance on American Idol and scared the hell out of Simon Cowell.
You do what you want to say, say what you want to say, do what you want to do, baby, do it.
Remember that song?
What was that song? You remember crazy. That night I'm talking about, right?
When yeah, that was, she that did red that. Hair. She was like, we mention it like once every 2 years, and I think that our listener, Juts, she usually will send us the video link because she's like, you guys, this is the song. And it always does not sound anything like what we did, but our memory of it is like Toad from Mario Kart. It's like, so that's basically what Catherine was. Yes, I agree.
That was some good shit, Catherine.
Catherine's like, it's a new me, a renaissance.
I'm like, Catherine? Oh, what were you going to say?
No, I was going to try to make some pithy joke about the Renaissance Hotel being like a brand good that no one seems to appreciate.
You had a good Renaissance joke coming. So sorry,
it was not a fully formed Renaissance joke. Perhaps it was more Baroque. I don't know.
We're out of the Ice Age, Andy.
So,
just because you like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles does not mean you're a Renaissance woman.
Speaking of art, you know, Catherine last year showed up in her saloon whore, like Powerpuff Girls dress. She was wearing like a golden bordello. Bustier and then like her bordello skirt. And this year she was doing like the bordello whore, but it's like played by Mina Suvari from American Beauty in that bathtub, but also saloon whore. It was weird. I like that she sticks with her like saloon whore. It up.
Exactly. It was kind of like for everyone who wondered what exactly happened to Mina Suvari on that bed of roses. What did she look like 10 minutes later? That's what Catherine was.
Yeah, basically. She drowned in some polyester flowers and nobody ever heard her again.
But it was kind of amazing. We should also mention it was kind of amazing.
Sometimes I look at a paperback in the air and I think, wow. America's beautiful.
It's all I can think from American Beauty, the paper bag in the air. They're like, wow, the paper bag, the way it blows in the wind. It's like, okay, this movie's deep.
Yeah.
So then Landon, he's like, hi, Landon, have nothing to say to you. Your hair is dry. Okay, Cameron, you're going to have a baby girl. You're going to name her Cameron. She's like, well, I like that name. But Whitney's richer, so we'll go with that.
Yeah. Yeah, Cameron tells a story about how she got pregnant really quickly, and she wasn't expecting to get pregnant so quickly, so Jason thought that she cheated on him. And I was like, okay.
Well, that's what the internet says, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but not so. For real, you know. I just read lots of comments, so
I think if she's going to go out of the... I don't know. I think that she... The reason why I think that she is loyal to him is that if she puts up with his ridiculous insistence that he does not come on camera, then she must really love him.
Well, I think...
Or it could go the other way, which is that because he doesn't come on camera, she's like, fuck this guy, I'm gonna bang someone else.
Yeah, I'll bang Shep instead. But I think that... she's the type of girl, and as much as I love her, I mean, she probably doesn't fuck her husband. Like, I doubt she's the cheating type. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I also doubt that she's the cheating type who does it, like, unprotected or without the day after pill or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Like, why buy the cow when you don't drink milk at all, even when it's free?
Yeah. Or maybe she just wants to prove her good moral character to Thomas Ravenel by seeing the baby through.
Her moral character.
She's
now, that's one thing I'm always looking for. Moral character. Moral turpitude. That's all I ask.
That Juno, she was a great person having that baby. You know what's a fine show that shows women who are of good standing quality and moral fabric are my
Little
teenage
House
pregnancy.
On the Prairie.
That show on MTV with the girls who get pregnant and have babies in high school. They have those babies. They're good. Those are good women.
I suppose I impregnated them, too. Blame me for everything. The new, you know, Andy's, you know, stoned and also obviously doesn't care about this cast because he's so catty with them, and I love it. He's like, hi, new Shep. And it's Austin with his dangling mouth open, like a fly comes out of Austin's mouth. And he's like, it's been interesting, Andy. And then they show a shot of his zitty ass coming out of the shower. Andy's like, yeah, totally jerked off to it. So Andy gets to his clever questioning. He's like, back in the day in Charleston, church steeples guided ships into harbor. Now these men are led by their steeples. Like, oh no, if this is how we're starting.
Craig is already looking at his finger, trying to be like, here's the church, here's the finger steeple. Oh, I have people inside my hands. Guiding the boats in.
Open it up, and wow, it's like home ec class when I learned to make a steeple.
When I learned to make
this is like gender studies class.
Oh my
when
God.
When I first learned that cheese is more important than blowjobs.
When I was in eighth grade, I took a class on woodwork class, and we learned how to make churches and steeples. All you do is just put your hands together with your fingers, and you just close them up, and you put your fingers up like that. It's like there's a church and a steeple. It's amazing.
So he's like, yeah, guided by penises. And then it's some question about Shep giving Craig credit for never getting ass or anything, like he has no game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I sort of zoned out during that question. I don't know why. I just was like, it seemed like just the normal stuff. He's like, gosh, Craig's always saying things. I'm like, gosh.
Yeah, he's like, you know, everyone calls me a mess, but look at Craig. Gosh. He has a sewing table in front of a couch. Gosh, how come no one's on him? Guys, I'm living out loud. It's going to be hard to stay on track in this because all the good stuff happens at the end.
Yeah. So
but, yeah, let's just get through some of this crap. I think Andy was basically shopping on Amazon Prime Day in his head during this too, because he was barely paying attention. He's like, so everybody's a slut.
Yeah.
Oh, Cameron, remember that time you cried? No one's ever seen you cry before. That was hilarious.
And then it's like, so Craig, have you always been a hobbyist? And T-Rav is like, you know, Cameron said it would not induce her into having sex to see her husband sewing. I'm like, what are you trying to say, T-Rav?
Way to hold both genders down at the same time. One-handed. That's pretty good, Thomas.
Induce her into having sex. That's why I use a pill.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I use the old Bill Cosby. Get it? It's like, that's not funny, Thomas.
Like, as I chuckle.
That guy still got it. Hoodin' pops. That's what I call him.
That's right. Da-da-da-da. Great song.
Kids say the darndest things. So
I spy a sewing machine.
I liked when Andy was talking to Cameron about her pregnancy, and she's like, well, people are saying that I shouldn't be just having a baby for my kid, but that's not what I'm doing. What I'm doing is basically I'm having a baby because my husband wants me to, you know? And Craig's like, you just didn't want to get fat. And she says, I just don't feel attached to it. Right now it's just this thing on my stomach giving me stretch marks. And I'm like, whatever. Maybe I'll feel more attached to it when the kid comes out. And Catherine goes,
I was like that. I didn't really even like Kinsey until I saw how well the Coke mirror balanced on her soft spot. Tommy is!
Listen, this is a hallowed day for Catherine, okay? It's Amazon Prime Day. It's her favorite day of the year. So we ought to be nice to her.
Yeah.
On her special, special day.
Yeah, she doesn't have anybody driving her to Michael's for her poinsettias or her roses or whatever the hell is sewn on her dress.
I guarantee she got that TV that you couldn't get.
Probably.
Like, yeah. I did it. I did it. Just when they thought, just when that one over there, I don't want to say her name, but just when she thought I couldn't get a TV, I did it.
So then there's talk about Craig lying, I guess, about being a lawyer, etc., and all that stuff, and about, like, you know, Shep coming down on Craig, and Craig saying that Shep really berates him a lot, etc. And I like that at one point, you know, Shep, you know, obviously saying, oh, what a tangled web we weave, is like a very classic quote, but I love that Shep just goes full on literary as usual. He's like, gosh, oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. Gosh, Marmion.
That rhymed.
Yeah, whenever he talks to Craig, he's like, I'm just going to whip out shit that he, you know, hasn't even been able to read on a pillow at the Cracker Barrel, you know? He just wants to confuse Craig so badly. And he's like, look, friendship isn't being burdened by someone else's problem, okay? That's called empathizing. Okay. A rising tide lifts all boats. I really believe that. It also, like, drowns people, Shep. Okay? Yeah. It also ruins homes, kills cities. Yeah, kills birds. Brings dolphins into gardens they shouldn't be in, you know?
Brings Landon into your home. You don't want Landon in your home.
Drains Landon into your reunion couch. You know?
That was from last.
That time. Is definitely a Landon asking for a fish.
She's like, finally, I've totally gotten control of my laugh that everyone makes fun of me for.
It is somewhere between a dolphin and a jalopy. Trying to start.
Wahooga! You know? God, she sounds like she's got a belt loose.
She does.
So Shep, Shep is going on with his literary stuff. And then Andy's like, whoa, I love books. So Shep, are you a douchebag? And he's like, look, I don't want to rain on anyone's parade, okay? You know, don't tell me not to live just sitting butter. Life's candy and the sun's a bowl of butter. Don't tell me I'm allowed to not rain on someone's parade, okay? That's literature. It's Funny Girl by Shakespeare, okay? Gosh.
Who's Shakespeare?
That's from the great literary work, Funny Garsh.
Funny Garsh. The Garsh is always greener. Garsh.
This show's giving me a conniption fit.
Yeah, you're... I'm like, where did Ronnie go?
I pressed mute. I finally found the mute button for when I start coughing so hard when I'm laughing. Oh. You guys, I'm dying. That's basically what's happening.
This now would be a good time to mention that a few weeks ago, we were mentioning Guys and Dolls, and I'm just a girl who can't say no. And that's from Oklahoma.
Duh. I never said that was from Guys and Dolls.
I did, and you didn't correct me.
Oh, Marsh. I probably wasn't listening.
Why didn't you berate me like Shep?
Hey, look, rising tides and all that.
You should have rained on my parade. You rained on my musical parade. I falsely attributed a song from my it was the junior year musical at Sleepaway Camp with the song from the sophomore year musical at summer camp.
Who told you you're allowed to rain on my resist march?
So
Thomas is like, Shep is a straight shooter. His coke lines are mathematic. I've never seen lines like that drawn on a mirror. It's like, okay, so everybody just stop talking about literature, okay?
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Also, anybody got the time? I need to take a leak. So Thomas, let's see here. So the next question is, Thomas and Craig, I saw you guys going back and forth on social. Do you love that Andy has just now completely banned the word Twitter?
Yeah. That is funny. I didn't notice that.
It became another housewife. It's like, okay, now what does Twitter have to say, you know?
Right.
So he's like, oh, yeah. I said Craig was like a long and windy road with nothing but tumbleweed blowing around between his ear. Oh, that was a good one. Still got it.
Craig's like, I have Easy Pass. I'd probably be on the highway. So, you know, not all of us took home ec in eighth grade, but that doesn't mean we can't be a great chef just like Craig. Thanks to HelloFresh, we've all taken home ec now because this awesome thing is a box of ingredients that comes to your doorstep with a recipe. And guess what? In about 30 minutes, you've got yourself a meal. That means there's more time for you to sew Gizmo onto your pillow sheets. Gosh, what a cool idea. I swear to God, I have used HelloFresh when I have been drunk at 1 a.m., drunker than Shep, perhaps. And by 1:30 a.m., I had food on the table. And I know I shouldn't be eating after midnight, but that's my challenge. Okay, the point is this. You can still do this when you are drunk, and it still only takes about 30 minutes at most. So let us tell you a little bit about HelloFresh. Gosh, each week HelloFresh creates new recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone from novices to seasoned home cooks short on time, gosh. Well, HelloFresh employs 2 full-time registered dietitians on staff who review each recipe to ensure it is nutritionally balanced. That's almost more than the nannies I have in the back house.
HelloFresh is now offering light summer meals and has just introduced breakfast options.
And it's less than $10 a meal.
So everyone, don't wait. Why bother walking around a grocery store? Who wants to do that and be around humanity? Am I right? Go get yourself a HelloFresh box, okay? All you do is go to HelloFresh.com and enter the promo code CRAPPINS30 and you get $30 off your first week of HelloFresh. That's right, for $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, go to HelloFresh.com and enter the promo code CRAPPINS30. The promo code again is CRAPPINS30 for HelloFresh.com. Go do it,
Thomas!
I don't get it.
So then Craig the mediator, you know, being terrible at mediating.
Then there's talk about, like, Naomi, like, let's talk about Naomi and how she sometimes, I don't know if she had come out at this point or not, but I think that she had, and how, like, everyone, like, as much as Craig's like, well, as much as everyone makes fun of me, like, there's a lot of good stuff, and they always like that, and they accept it, but Naomi doesn't sometimes. And then Shep's like, gosh, Craig, she's with you. Isn't that a referendum on how you're a good person? He's like,
hey, look, if I can't referendum your problems, then you can't referendum mine problems. Okay, Shep.
He actually said, that's why I was so confusing.
Hey, look, just because Naomi doesn't like that you sew doesn't mean you get an automatic runoff vote. It's like,
yeah, so Shep is saying that he thinks it's good that like Naomi, you know, calls Craig on his shit, because that's what he's like, gosh, that's what I want. I want someone who's going to call me out on my shit. Gosh, gosh, gosh.
That's what everybody's doing, and you hate it.
Yeah, you can say. Every time someone calls Shep out, he's like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. Gosh, I'm sorry. Like, what should I be doing? Walking down to the Quickie Mart? Gosh, I don't know.
It's like, somebody hold me too close. Somebody hurt me too deep. Somebody sit in my chair and ruin my sleep and make me aware of being alive. Being alive, okay? It's like, okay, that's still just Sondheim. So... Please stop with musical theater lyric literature, okay?
Gosh, life is to be lived, not controlled, and humanity is won by continuing to play in the face of certain defeat. Gosh, Ralph Ellison, gosh, gosh.
He's like, prologue, gosh. Okay, now you're reaching. He's like, acknowledgments.
Terror made me cruel, Emily Bronte. Like, okay, Craig. Shep, I mean.
I was going to say, wow, Craig really did go to school. Craig, so the next Craig, clip yeah. is he's like, I decided to study women's literature. Naomi's like, you're stupid. So Naomi comes out and Andy does his, you know, normal softball. And well, he's trying to make it a nice softball to start out. He's like, so, you know, your relationship's just adorable. Who asked who out? And she's like, Craig asked me out every holiday for 3 years. And he'd be like, hey, and he'd call me Rockstar. So he'd be like, hey, happy birthday, Rockstar. Hey, happy Easter, Rockstar. And I was like, gross, that drink is disgusting. Then we met at this friend's mutual friend's dinner, and I was wearing a ponytail. And so he called me ponytail. And I hated him. I thought it was so disrespectful. Like, wow. So things are working out
great.
Yeah,
it's great. It sounds like a great foundation.
You guys are killing it.
Yeah. But then things turned around because Naomi, apparently, Craig used to say, Happy Easter every year. And that really won her over. It's the simple things.
Yeah, it's just like constantly finding eggs with Craig, you know? They're either filled with jelly bellies, which are delicious and gourmet, or just dog shit. You never know what you're going to get. But, you know, it's a good holiday. He's like, wow, thanks. So he's like, what about choosing cheese over oral? And she's like, he literally eats cheese all the time. Like, we don't even need a heater in the winter. It's just like one big tent fart.
She's like, you go into a closet, he's eating cheese nonstop. And Andy's like, because Craig's like, yeah, I just really love cheese. Like, who doesn't love cheese? And Andy's like, well, every guy likes getting his dick sucked. What's wrong with your relationship? I was like, whoa, calm down there, Andy. I will defend Craig on the cheese front. I thought that was kind of like an obnoxious response from Andy.
Yeah, that's a little blue, Andy. I'm like really ashamed. And then Craig said, well, I took women's gender studies and... Our professor asked us that question.
It was actually the most fascinating course I ever took. Also the only course I ever took.
I just love that question.
It's such an interesting question.
But I like that he took women's gender studies. Not just what? Gender studies or women's studies. Women's gender studies.
I feel like he had an oral exam and was offered cheese beforehand, and he thought it was an opportunity to choose between oral sex and cheese.
Or maybe he was offered an Oral-B toothbrush at the dentist, and he's like, why would I want to fuck a toothbrush? Give me the cheese.
Now, tell me about your gender struggle. Like, oh, you're at the dentist's office. Wow, this is fascinating. What a fascinating class. They put you in a chair and put you all the way back.
So then they talk about their relationship, and I rolled my eyes and looked to see if there were any, you know, like wooden bamboo trays to keep my bills in on Amazon Prime.
Well, because basically the issue is about, you know, Naomi, you know, Craig's whole thing is that he feels that Naomi has been disloyal to him and is trying to always take him down a peg. And Shep is like, gosh, well, you know, she became friends with us and she wasn't trying to take you down. She was just venting how she felt and you took it that way. And you, I don't think you want loyalty. You want secrecy. And that just really blew Craig's brain right there. He's like, can I have a bellhop costume?
Shep, you're literally buying a new apartment, so Cameron won't have a key to it. Okay? Were you talking about secrecy?
Yeah.
She's not betraying you. She's just talking about... She's just talking mad shit about you to all your friends on national TV. Gosh.
Gosh. I like the fast gosh that sneaks in there.
Gosh. Yeah.
So then it switches over to Catherine, because I think Catherine was, like, nodding or something. And Catherine's like, yeah, if I had done it differently, I would have kept everything private. And so Andy's like, well, what would you be trying to keep private? And she's like, well, you know, there are just like a lot of people in Thomas's ear who are saying things that I was like too young and, you know, partying, and stuff like that. And Andy's like, who? It's like,
do Whitney. I have to say their name?
And then she's kind of pointing at Landon, and Landon's doing that like angry dolphin where she's like, dolphin squint. You're like, is that dolphin smiling or is their face just always like that? You know, like, yeah. You don't know. And, she Catherine's like, I don't want to say her name. It's not Voldemort. Okay. Like, you'll be okay. You can say her name. And she's like,
there were voices that sounded like, I don't want to say her name, in his ear saying that I was manipulative and that I was doing X, Y, Z. Really, all I was doing was X, H, and C, you know, and a little blow. Is that in the alphabet?
X, T, and C. So then Andy's like, Landon, were you one of those voices? And she's like, I just don't want to be involved. And then, you know, obviously they're like, but you were one of the voices. Catherine's like, you were saying these things. And she's like, fine, give me an example. So then Catherine's like, in the periwinkle nursery that you made periwinkle, you said that I needed shock treatment. And Linda's like, that's fair.
She's like, I did say that. Sorry. Oh, but you know what? It's a legit treatment.
Yeah, sure.
Thing in the 50s, but whatever. I'm sorry.
Yeah, her response was, I mean, I didn't really think, I didn't mean like you should get shock therapy. I just meant that they used to give people like you shock therapy. But you don't need it. I'm sorry.
I was going to say lobotomy, but I didn't want to use a big word around you. Sorry.
Thank you.
And then Catherine's like, well, it's pathetic and it's immature and inappropriate. And Leonard goes, I agree with you. And Catherine's like,
She's like,
someone could have told Landon, just agree with whatever Catherine says, and she won't know what to do with herself. Yeah.
Then you could see Catherine in her mind just watching a tennis game between and Irm.
It's like the equivalent of when Randy Quaid went into the middle of that, like, blew up his spaceship in the middle of the big spaceship in Independence Day. It's like Landon shot something right into the core of Catherine. She was like, and then explosion.
It's like every Thanksgiving at the Quaid household where Randy is like trying to get one up on Dennis, but he's always Randy, you know?
Wait, so which one is... So, is Catherine Randy Quaid and Landon Dennis Quaid?
No, just that reaction. Like, when she has nothing to say, it's like, oh, Dennis, so I guess Meg left yet. And Dennis is like, yeah, at least I can still get it up. And Randy's just like,
like, so Meg left you and like you've done some shitty movies. And he'll just be like, I'm Dennis Quaid. And then Randy's like, fuck. I'm going to go grow a crazy beard and protest something. Yeah, so we figured it out. Catherine Dennis is basically she embodies the spirit of Randy Quaid.
So then we start getting into the alphabet thing again, because Catherine's already been like,
they were saying I was doing XYZ on the LGBT and the TMZ, Andy.
And then Thomas is like, well, me and Shep, the problem we suffer from is the ABC condition. And they're like, what's that, Thomas? And he's like, the age and bachelor condition. Oh, yeah. Still got it.
Andy's like, Asian bachelor condition. I love that, too. Oh, aging. Never mind.
He's like, Asian bottom condition.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, Asian bottoms. Sorry you take so much crap on this show. So Austin is like, I don't know, who cares? So beer sells Austin, like, literally, don't care, close your mouth, please. So why did Cam fuck with Shep and Chelsea? And she's like, I didn't mean to. Wait, what was this?
I literally have no idea where you are. Like, wait, what you're talking about? Cam tried to fuck Chelsea? Did you say that?
No. Cam tried to fuck with Shep and Chelsea by setting them up.
I was like, what?
You guys, you can tell when I'm finding a good deal because I'm just like making things up. I'm like, and then Minnie Mouse started taking a Pilates class and Donald Duck blew himself. It's like, what?
You're just going to start incorporating various Amazon Prime deals into the banter. You're just gonna be like, and then Cameron found a plush puppet and put on some cactus trinkets, and it's not gonna make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't. So basically, they start going into Shep. They're like, "Oh, Austin, you're here and you're orange. Okay, let's go talk to Shep now."
Well, because Austin has his big line prepared. He's like, "Well, I'm a hopeless romantic, not a helpless romantic." Everyone's like, oh, okay.
Close your mouth. How about you wipe the spit foam off the corners of your mouth? That would be great.
Also, okay, Shep, by the way, defends himself by being like, gosh, we're both affable, gregarious guys. And you can see Craig is getting so furious. Why do they keep using these giant words? But then Austin, it turns out Austin.
What does gregarious peck have anything to do with this?
I like that Craig knows who Gregory Peck is, but not what gregarious means.
I love Gregory Peck.
Okay, I'll amend that. Why does he keep bringing up Gregarious George? That little monkey's always getting into trouble.
Why is he always bringing up Gregarious Clooney? I mean, we like ER and everything, but like, that show's been over.
So they start on Shep by saying,
I just wanted to say that I was really amused that Austin is no longer with his beer company, because they basically tried to send him down to Savannah, and even Austin's like, listen, I may be the dullest person on Southern Charm, but even I will not go on Southern Charm Savannah. No, I will leave this job.
He's like, they wanted me to hang out with that dude who makes socks. Like, are you fucking kidding me? No,
I just can't go down there because apparently someone said that they make beer there before they can even walk in the South. I don't get it.
They have 2-hour parties in barns. Like, no, I'm not going there.
I'm just concerned because I was told that if I move down there, I'm going to have to start like hauling luggage for Delta.
How dare you? I'm sorry that I work for a living.
How could you come down here to do beer stuff when I do beer? I drink beer, and you didn't even ask me if you want for advice on how to do sell and beer here in Savannah.
This is how I pay my livelihood. This beer pays for Izzy. I'm having a gola woman come over and exercise you.
Now let's go swimming.
So they start giving Shep alcoholism issue, you know, questions, and Andy's like, so how did working to the beach move, or how did moving to the beach work out for you, Shep? Are you less of an alcoholic? And Shep's like, yeah, because the bars at the beach close at 11, so I can't be out drinking all night. And Thomas says, nah, just drinks in the day. Oh, yeah!
Zinger. That's what we call a limehouse zinger. And I like that Andy then read this other question where he's like, bitchy poodle on Twitter says, like, bitchy poodle. You know that they only asked that question just so they could say bitchy poodle.
Bitchy poodle on the social media says.
And Cameron's like, yes, you said my name.
So yeah, it goes into Shep's alcoholism, and then Andy's like, let's get quiet now, guys. So, Shep, let's talk about when Cameron found you in your bed. They're like, dun, dun, dun. I'm sure it's the first time Shep slept till 1 in the afternoon. And I love that they're making this like Shep is now a heroin addict, you know, that they found in some crack house somewhere missing an arm without even feeling it. Like, he slept till 1. I'm pretty sure this happens every day, okay?
Yeah. It's literally like they just found him on Skid Row, you know, and they're like rehabbing him. Like, Shep, can you tell us about your terrible journey? It's like, gosh, I went to sleep at 4, and gosh, I woke up at 1.
On accident, I said, hey, Siri, set an alarm for 1 p.m. instead of 1 a.m. Like, why would you be waking up at 1 a.m., Shep? I don't know, gosh, I'm just trying to live out loud.
Gosh, so, I don't know what to do. Should I go to a monastery and collect bees and
make honey? Gosh, gosh.
And Catherine says, well, I think that people just like to project their own problems onto others. Yes. That great problem that Cameron has of oversleeping till 1 p.m.
She's jealous. Cameron's jealous.
Yeah. Cameron's like, why can he sleep till 1 p.m. and I can't? So Shep's like, look, Andy, here, Garsh, guys. Let me just have a moment of Garsh, okay, guys? I chose to explore that part of myself, and I allowed it to be shown and to be honest on television because it helps me change. Which is why my face is really dried out and drunk and my eyes are half closed and I combed my hair with spit. I'm really changing, guys. And they're like, wow, it's totally working, Shep. Get out of here.
He's like, have I showed enough contrition? Because I have to go. There's a Spanish verb tenses book on Amazon Prime Day for sale for $8. Garsh, bye. Adios, I mean.
Am I supposed to join a monastery? Garsh, that's what Pablo Coelho considered doing back when he was accused of being a heroin addict because he slept till 1. Okay, Shep, we get it.
I can do the monastery. Look, it'll just be like Pillars of the Earth, which we all read, I'm assuming. Right? Right? No?
Guys, am I a Kahlo or a Kahlo? What do you think? You're a Kato. You're a straight-up Kato.
So then Craig chimes and he's like, I feel like when he yells at us, he's yelling at himself. Shep's like, gar, psychobabble. It's like, this show's getting so deep.
Rich dad, poor dad. Am I right, Craig? Garsh. So, Catherine. Now we move on to Catherine. Now, Thomas has had a blowjob or thinks he's about to get a blowjob. He's, you know, Catherine and Thomas love these reunions because Catherine's going to pretend she's nice. Thomas is going to pretend he doesn't have, like, coke and rage issues. And everything's going to be great. But then they start yelling at each other, and then they fuck in the bathroom. So yeah. That's pretty much the beginning of that.
Babies are made, yeah.
And Andy's like, so, Catherine, drug addict, etc. And Thomas is like, yeah, smiling at her like, that's my girl over there. Mm-hmm. And Andy goes, it's really nice to see all your hard work pay off, Catherine. How did it pay off? Now she's in the center of a couch. Last year she was at the edge of the couch by you in the Vanderpump seat. Now she's stuck in the goddamn center, you know, sharing shoulders with people. It didn't work out.
Yeah, I'm like, is the hard work the 30 days of rehab for marijuana? Is that what he's talking about?
Oh, my God. That got so crazy.
Yeah.
She's like, I've been sober 8 months, and there's fake news out there questioning me. Fake news, hashtag CNN lies.
Yeah.
And Andy's just, like, stoned as hell. He's like, how much longer do we have to talk about rehab, okay?
So Catherine, then she starts talking about her rehab journey a little bit, and she's like, I learned in rehab that the world can be so cruel, so, so cruel, what a terrible world. And they just kept on cutting to Landon, like a representative of the cruel world. The cruel world as personified by Landon Clements.
That was so funny. And Landon's trying to be nice too, but she's doing that little squinty thing with her eyes where she's like, like that's the sound her eyes make.
Like a gardener a few blocks away.
Like,
shut up. Why must you weed whack at all times?
And she goes, I don't want to be a victim about this. And Landon's like furrowed, stressed brow. And she goes,
you know, there's just these dynamics to it. There's the dynamics that exist, and I can't say it.
And she's pointing to Landon, like, with her finger behind her cheek, like she doesn't want Landon to see her pointing at her. And then Andy's like, well, remember when you failed that drug test? Why didn't you just admit it? And she's like,
that info was in a closed, sealed case, and it was leaked.
And they're like, it wasn't leaked, okay?
Well, it was leaked in the reunion.
And Landon's like, whatever, take responsibility. And Andy, she does that hand thing where she goes, flick of the hand, and she goes, don't talk yet.
Yeah, because essentially Catherine says that Landon, it was private information that was in a closed court case document, etc. And that Landon had found out about it because I guess Thomas had shown her. And so that Landon came on to the reunion and told everyone about that she failed the drug test, and Landon is the one that put it out there, but Landon's like, I read it on the internet. And then even Andy was like, I'm pretty sure it was on the internet before the reunion. And Catherine was not having it.
Yeah.
And Landon's like, don't call me a liar.
I am really getting sick of being called a liar by you. Okay, go back to the Wayback Machine.
I don't think your rehab was Rome-worthy.
And it's not hard to see who's really at fault here, because you got charming Matlock over there, like Possum Matlock. He's like, well, I think that someone just heard your lawyer talk about it or something.
Someone. Someone whose name may be DJ, which is JD and Piglet. Oh, I guess I'll just let it out. But good old D. Someone at Entry J Urban Bay may have heard something. And, you know, once that fine, fine gentry bourbon starts flowing, it's hard to keep any secret. Am I right?
I'll just add this, Andy. My neighbor did not commit that murder. Okay, Matlock. So, Landon, the next question is, so, Landon, remember when you said Catherine only went to rehab in Malibu to find a new rich man to make her victim? And she's like, yeah, well, I said that because I meant it. And she posed, and then there she goes. She posed at 4 a.m. with some dude in a Maserati.
How is that a diss, A?
Yeah, and well, it was... This whole thing, there was a lot of chaos, because even before that question, there was this great interaction between Catherine and Landon, where at one point, so, you know, when Catherine's saying that, is accusing Landon of being the leaker, and then T-Rav and Landon are like, no, it's on the internet. And then Catherine goes, why is everyone attacking me right now? Which is a classic Catherine, because she does love to, like, Catherine goes in for the attack, which is always entertaining for us, but sometimes I question, you know, it's weird. I tend to believe her, but I sometimes think that she gets her facts wrong with other things. And in this case, she was definitely...
Catherine, you are really such a good person.
So then Landon's like trying to defend herself. And I just love that Catherine just goes, I'm not asking you. Are you Andy? Goodbye.
And Landon's, goodbye. I'm done.
So pathetic.
That is so pathetic, the way you said bye. Like, what are you, in a 7-Eleven in a Maserati with a hot rich guy?
Yeah, so now, but here Landon's dumb because, you know, because Landon did say that comment of, like, which was pretty rude about that. She's only going to rehab to meet, like, a rich guy in California. And so when Catherine confronts her about it, Landon should have been like, you know what, I'm sorry, we were in a bad place. It was a catty comment, that's it. But instead, Landon's like, well, you did post a photo with a guy who was, like, shirtless with a Maserati, so... And Catherine's like, was I in the photo? She's like, no. But she's like, so what's the point? Like, I can't take a picture of a guy? Like, you don't even know the situation. I was like, Catherine's right.
Yes, but I do like when Landon takes responsibility for stuff. She's like,
I meant that she's a loser because she's a loser and a user. That's what I meant. Is that what I said? Because that's what I meant. Do you want me to write it down? Could you not hear what I said? Or?
And then she realizes that she sounds like a bitch, so then she'll start pretending to cry. She's like, she's like, are you laughing, crying, or did you eat too many whole fish and now you're like trying to digest? Like, what's happening?
I'm just under a lot of stress. I'm just trying to launch my new website. It's called Amazon.com.
I want to have a website called Prime Day.
So then Andy's like, so Catherine, why did you order a margarita if you were supposedly sober? And Catherine's like, well, first of all, even though I ordered it, well, I was drinking then and it was fine, but even though I ordered it, I did not have a single sip of that margarita. I'm like, that seems strange. Why would you order it then?
Yeah, Catherine is a bad liar. She's like,
I just really wanted to show people that, you know, I'm okay and that I'm healthy. And that I'm doing what's right.
And then, stop shaking your head. It's very distracting. Says the woman dressed in a full-on rose bouquet.
You look like a bus from Bachelor in Paradise crashed into a saloon.
You literally look like the Flower District in downtown Los Angeles. You look like you should be on wheels going through Pasadena on January 1st.
Uh, Okay, so I'm trying to get here. So
Landon's
she's like,
I
didn't have a sip. And she goes, stop shaking your head, Landon. And Landon's like, I can do whatever I want. And she goes, out of respect. She goes, okay.
Out of respect, stop like shaking your head at the ridiculous excuse you just came up with about why you're not drinking, why you ordered a margarita, but then you didn't have a sip. I mean, this is like, do we not remember Bill Clinton? Like, I didn't inhale. That's like sort of what this is, right?
I did not have sexual relations with that woman. And now everybody, and now nobody considers a blowjob sex. It's like, yes. It changed the entire landscape, Catherine. Okay, stop getting people back on the sauce. So Landon's like,
I mean, my head's not shaking, but you just said that you were sober, but then you said that you were drinking, so you just lied right now. She goes, my rehab was Mary Jane, okay? It was marijuana. It was not anything else. That was my thing, marijuana. And I use it to detach from reality. It's so hard to talk about.
It is not hard to talk about marijuana, okay? And everyone knows you didn't go to rehab for marijuana. Everybody knows you a cokehead, and so was Thomas. And Thomas went to jail for it. You went on Instagram, you know, a few months ago, and you said,
that lady you saw at the bar with Thomas is his coke dealer.
So let's not pretend that this is just all, you know, Zimas and marijuana.
Yeah, brownies and more brownies.
And then Thomas flirted in his way, and he went, well, I'd just like to note that I scored higher on my blood alcohol than she did.
So I absolve her of that. Did you hear that? I used absolve correctly.
Consider that your Valentine's Day card, madame.
So then we have a scene of that, like, heart-wrenching scene of Kinsey wanting to go home with Catherine, but she can't. She's not allowed. So now Catherine's, like, crying, and she's like, it's hard. I've lost trust in everyone. What I've gone through. It's been so intense. And they cut to Landon, and Andy's like, Landon, why are you crying? And she's like, feel so sad to be lonely like that is so sad. I just feel bad for her. I'm like, you were just yelling at her 2 minutes ago. What is wrong with you, crazy lady?
It makes me feel sad that she can't trust people. Everyone needs a BAM.
And then Catherine's like,
well, it's not that I don't trust people because I'm not cynical. I just can't have shifting loyalties. We saw it with finger. I'm pointing at my cheek, but it's really at Landon. I don't want to say her name. I'm not going to mention her name, but she gave a distorted.
Oh, no, no.
She's talking about Snowden.
She wasn't talking. Yeah, she was talking about Snowden. She goes,
she gave a distorted deposition.
And Andy's like, you mean Snowden? So then when we come back, Snowden's out there, and poor thing doesn't even fit on the couch. And not because she's big, just because they don't have enough couch for her. So they pull up like a chair. She looks like she's been relegated to the kids' table.
Well, what's also funny, too, is, you know, the way they do these couches is they put people on opposite couches who are like, against other people. So there were so many people on the opposite couch from Catherine.
Yeah.
They could have just put her on the Catherine couch, but like, no.
They should have, they should have just had Catherine sit, like, on the floor in the middle, Indian style.
Yeah.
They could just round robin Catherine.
So Snowden comes out. We hear that her baby boy is doing well, which is really good. And then we revisit one of the most iconic moments of the past 10 years, the handkerchief. And we, like, have, like, the flashback of like, Snowden crying about her baby. And Thomas Hanley's like, here, I'll have this handkerchief. And she's like, it's probably Hermes. And then it's like the most benign clip ever that's caused this massive rift in this friendship.
That will always be hilarious to me, that handkerchief drama. Yeah. And she's like,
but shifting loyalties.
And also, Andy, you know, he always starts with the softballs. And he's like, well, how's the baby?
She's like, he's meeting all his milestones, Andy. He had surgery to put his brain back into school.
And then they put a close-up on Craig's face, and he's like, ugh.
Yeah.
Who doesn't have their brain in their head? That's disgusting. It's like, wow. Is that
your sensitive like, it's you, Craig. It's you.
So, Catherine's like,
I saw it as just the handkerchief is a gesture of shifting loyalty. You can only take so much from Thomas. And it was a race, and she proved it. She valued his friendship more than mine.
And he's like, well, let me explain this now. Now, I took a 180 on Snowden, okay? I got Downs in my life these days. I got a Downs brother in my life these days. And when you're going to have a baby with Downs, they tell you to have an abortion. And when she didn't do that, my loyalties changed because I saw her as a good person before the reunion and also someone who could possibly babysit my brother without complaining or asking for extra money. It's like, oh, geez.
Is Asher, does he have Down syndrome?
I don't know. I don't know because Snowden didn't say that.
Yeah, maybe just saying about birth defects. I don't know. Yeah. It just seemed like a strange. I mean, I think it's noble. I think it's definitely noble if you know your child has birth defects or whatever, and you're like, no, I'm not gonna give up on this child. I think it's noble, but like, if there was someone that I really didn't like and they gave birth to a child who had birth defects, I'd be like, you know, that's actually really respectable. I still don't like you, but that's respectable. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
So
I'm just teasing him about it because he's Thomas. And
yes, I did a 180.
Yeah, he's like, well, she had a Downs baby. You know what it's like trying to keep a brain in a skull? Now, let me tell you a story about a bridge. A bridge?
I thought that when he said I did a 180, I thought that might have been slang for some sort of crack. Yeah, I went down. I found some gentlemen in the south side of Charleston. And, you know, I did a 180, if you know what I'm saying.
Thomas just admitted to doing a 180. A 180 of XYZ.
I'm putting it on TMZ.
Tell him about my THC.
So Snowden's like, there was nothing shifting, okay? There was no shifting, nothing. And Catherine's like, well, but then there did because it happened a month ago because you took a deposition and you told distorted lies, fake news. Snowden CNN. Fake news.
And then Snowden's like, are you insinuating that I lied under oath? And Catherine's like, perhaps I am.
Perhaps when I learn what insinuating means, I will be doing that. What does insinuating mean?
Greg's like, oh, I think it's when you like sin and you wait at the same time, but you do it inside something. So you're like insinuating, like you're waiting in sin.
Yeah, it's like when you're fucking a girl named Sin.
but you're waiting also to finish, so it's like in Sin you're waiting.
And you're like, babe, could you get off my dick and get me some cheese?
Hell, Mac, am I right? Have you ever taken a gender class? Oh my god, so fascinating.
Women's gender. Ooh,
so then, then Catherine tries to shut it all down, being like, we can't talk about this. And Snowden's like, I'm not under your gag order. I was like, ooh, Snowden. Ooh. I like that.
Yeah, Snowden's going for the gold today.
But then she's like,
well,
totally
fine then. Maybe you should talk about stuff.
Like, poor Catherine. But Catherine is staying pretty calm at this point, and I'm impressed.
Catherine, yes.
Yeah, she's like, well, it was about things that I knew that they said, and I'm not going to spread her business here because I know that I told the truth. I know. And Catherine's like,
it hurt me. I had flashbacks to being on the phone with you here, and you heard Thomas say the worst things about me. And then you went in court and said he's a good father, and those are my babies, and that is a lie.
And she's like, well, then why didn't your lawyers ask me good questions about you? Your lawyer could have said, is Catherine nice? And I could have, you know, lied about you, too, being a good mom. You know, you could have made my lies fair. And she's like,
you were discrediting yourself.
Okay. None of this makes sense.
Yeah. Exactly. So Catherine is like has perpetuated a rumor about Snowden's baby daddy and sort of denies or whatever. And I like the cat. Snowden's like, Catherine chooses her words carefully so she doesn't have to look culpable. And Catherine's like,
okay,
huh? And they cut to Craig going like, huh? And Jeff's like, gregarious, gosh.
So Catherine, that's culpable. Like, what are you trying to trick me now? Craig's like, that's a sewing pattern. And she's like,
oh, goddamn. Well, look, you were the one who was spreading rumors.
And she's like, what? I'm a mother. I wouldn't spread a rumor. Yeah. She's like, yes, you did. You were insinuating that Thomas fathered my son. And she goes, well, I did do that.
But then
she says, yes. Will you say you're sorry? She goes, well, I didn't say it. What I said, there was a question about it, and I said, I don't know. And then suddenly, it's like, I did it.
Is that what you were just talking about?
Yes, that's fine. You had more detail on it. But then what I liked was that Catherine then pulls like the classic Real Housewives line, which is, I didn't spread a rumor. I repeated it to someone. It's different. Who got caught up in that recently? That got caught up in it so badly. Was it in Beverly Hills?
I didn't say it. Somewhat. I just repeated it. I think it was Beverly Hills.
I can't even keep it straight, but there was like a, who was telling rumors?
I think it was the Cokie Roberts thing on Beverly Hills, or when Dorinda. Oh, I don't know. I don't even remember.
It's hard to remember.
It happened. It's like trying to remember who said, I don't remember, on a Bravo show. Like, they all just say that now.
Oh. You know what it was? It was Real Housewives of Atlanta and all the candy stuff. And Portia was like, I wasn't spreading it. I was just repeating it.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It was the word on the street.
So let me ask you, Ben.
Yes?
What do you think about the Snowden situation? Because I always thought that was just stupid, you know, Thomas fathering Snowden's baby and stuff. But Snowden's acting kind of fishy here. Now, she could be acting fishy because it's totally mortifying, and she just had a baby, and she's got this newish husband.
Yeah.
But it does seem kind of weird that she's acting fishy. And then she's like, but you weren't truthful with me because you told me you had a party and that you guys stayed up super late. And then Thomas stayed over with you. And he goes, yeah, but we didn't do anything.
And
Snowden says, I don't even remember that.
Yeah, that's right. I noticed that they had two different responses. That was a little fishy.
Yeah. And then Catherine said, and Thomas, you told me that you slept in her bed. And he's like, now, look. I stayed out all night because Catherine stayed out all night, and I just wanted her to know how it feels, insinuating that he just lied to her to make her jealous because he was sick of her trying to make him jealous or whatever. Right. And then she goes, that is a lie. And he goes, you want to do this? Because we could go to court right now. And she's like, we do go to court. It's like, we're in court every day.
Every day.
And he said, but I thought we were going to sign that agreement where you promised to be nice and play nice with daddy and daddy would let you drive the minivan. She's like, well, I'm the one who filed the motion. He's like, you want to keep this up, missy? It can get ugly. And then he does his like old man, like, my lips were inside of my mouth now and I'm steaming mad.
And furthermore, is that a poncho? It's a cape.
Some tights and all that.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if Thomas is the father. That's a big leap. It's one thing to say that maybe Thomas and Snowden had a thing because they have had a thing in the past. To say he's actually the father, I don't know. But I guess we'll have to see what Asher looks like as he grows up.
Yeah, if he looks like a possum, you know, threatening to eat all your trash.
If he starts speaking really bad French in mirrors, then we'll have an idea that perhaps he is.
Well, that brings us to the end of this sucker, Ben.
We did it. So, everyone, thanks for listening. We'll be back with some Real Housewives of New York City mañana. Even furthermore, go buy those LA tickets. Yay. WatchWhatCrappens.com.
Y'all go get you some tickets.
Yeah. All right. Bye, everyone.